1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21 says, "And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every hill, every high hill, and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak the king of Egypt came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them unto the hands of the chief of the guard which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah?" Some days you find yourself doing better than others. On a golden day, you prayed, you're making sound choices, and you're seeing the fruit of those decisions being played out in your life. There are many golden shield moments in our lives, things we can point to and see that things are going great. That person who you've been witnessing to asks you to pray for them, or you find scripture comes to your mind a lot faster than it ever has before after being more diligent in your studies. We love those moments, and those moments are great. It's enjoyable when you find that all the effort you've put into your spiritual walk is finally beginning to pay off. And you're seeing that your discipline is more on point. And God is blessing your life. And you're able to look at certain things and you see, these things would have never happened were it not for God's blessing in my life. David had these shields commissioned. We're talking 300 shields of gold. Now that's a lot. Now under study here, my best approximation is you're looking at about 3 pounds of silver, 3 pounds of gold per shield. That's a heavy shield. I mean, 3 pounds doesn't seem like much, but when you're carrying it like this or how they would have to, it was a substantial shield. But because it was gold, we would understand that it's not something you would necessarily take into battle. It would be too fragile of a metal to be of any good. So the only real good that they had there in the king's house was to praise God. It shows how much abundance that we have, how wonderful things are. As we're coming into the Thanksgiving holiday, that really is the purpose of the holiday. We're going to celebrate with excess God's blessings in our lives. Right? You're not just going to have a small turkey sandwich on Thursday. You're not going to have just a little bit. You might indulge. Why? Because there's going to be a spread. We had to sit down and talk about the different families and how we were going to make our trip work and just get the logistics of it down. Why? Because not only do we have excess, but we've got families that want to celebrate with excess. And much we would look at that, we say, well, we should probably feel a little bit guilty about that, and feel free to do so if you want, but we have a lot. And in celebrating in that way, we're showing, Lord, thank you. That's what the golden shields were for. Lord, you'd so bless the kingdom under David and increase that blessing under Solomon that we're able to have this. This is only here because God allowed it to be. And don't ever get confused. The good things in your life are only there because God put them there. And it's perfectly okay for that to happen. Sometimes you get somebody that have a little bit of success and they feel like they've got to hide that because they don't want to look like it's braggadocious. And I understand that we don't want to brag, but at the same time, God's going to bless you as you obey, as you abide in his teachings, and as you follow the wisdom he gives you, good's going to come from that. Right? As we take care of our bodies, they will be better. As we take care of our finances, they will be better. As we give all the things we ought to God, things will go better. And those shields were a demonstration of that. They had no military purpose. They weren't really going to protect anybody. They were there as a decoration and a praise to God. But what happened? Well, they let sin into the camp, and not just sin, but copious amounts of it. Now, what we have to understand is the biggest problem with these religions is that it took them from God. But there are many subsidiary problems that come from the gods that they were worshiping. You can't get as drunk as you needed to be to serve these gods and still remain fit to battle. You cannot follow as many teachings and religions as these people followed and still come to your king's call when you're under attack. It literally split the kingdom in multiple ways. Judah was so split up because of these false religions that they were not only weaker for it, but they lacked that commitment to the kingdom. They lacked that commitment to God because they had so many other things going on. They had so much other things that they were listening to that they felt no more devotion nor loyalty to the things of God. So who cares if the temple is being plundered? And who cares if the king's house is being plundered? We're going to go down here and we've got this festival going on over here at Balaam's temple. And we've got all these groves to go worship at. Who cares if all the gold is gone? We have this. But that changed to something. Now we've got more brazen shields. Now, for whatever reason, we like to keep up appearances, don't we? We do. Somebody asked me yesterday, broke my heart, have you ever thought of putting a little bit of color right here? Now, I understand this. This is my attitude. If you're asking me to do that and you're older than me, it's to make you feel better, not me. Because it doesn't matter what I do, this is it. This is all it's ever going to be, folks. It's not going to get more handsome than this. All right? Whether it's gray, whether it's black, it's going to be still the same level of disappointing it's always been. But all the same, there's... what we got to put on airs. You got to make it look a certain way. We've got to do this, to do that, to make it look good, even though it's not good. And that was his desire. Well, the shields are gone, and we don't want to lose face, so we're going to make another shield. But the problem was all the gold was gone. All the riches were gone. Everything that they valued was gone. Everything David had prepared to worship God with was gone. They let it all go. They lacked discipline, they lacked strength, because they sold it to these false gods. And now here comes Shishak, the king of Egypt, he plundered them. They didn't have the gold to replace the shields. So what are we going to do? We're going to make ones of brass. And you know what? Brass kind of looks like gold if you're not paying close enough attention, but you get anywhere too close to it and you're going to see that is not gold. It doesn't have the same qualities. It doesn't have the right shade of color to it. It's not the same. Now, brass is not necessarily something you'd want to take into battle either. So though it is stronger and more durable than gold, it's still not something you want to take to battle. So again, we're looking at a structure here that was purely instrumental. Well, not instrumental, but it was purely decoration. We're trying to put on this facade of godliness. Trying to put on this facade that nothing has changed. So Rehoboam, he's living in this house, and it was a beautiful thing. The way this house was, really take time to study all the works that Solomon did and all the things that he built and just how much of a praise to God it was. And it's all being plundered and it's all being gone. And all they have is a facsimile, something that kind of looked like it, but it wasn't quite right. These are the days where things aren't going so well, these brass shield days. You lost your job for being late too often. You log into your bank account, realize that you're not going to make it to the next payday. The car was repossessed. The spouse walks in on you committing that sin that you've been hiding. Or maybe your spouse walked out on you. These moments are shameful. And as much as we would love to have the ground swallow us up, we still got to move on. So what do? You plaster on the face. Everything's fine. And though we just spent the last week having not prayed one time and having not opened our Bible one time, we still put on the church clothes and we walk through the door. And when the pastor preaches, we give the needed amen. Amen. And we sit there, we shake hands and praise the Lord, and we talk in Christianese, and we say all the things we think we're supposed to say, and we smile all the smiles we think we owe people, and then we get back in the car and we take the mask off, and behind all the polish and behind all the pretend shine and all the paint, it's still just brass. To me, it is much more valuable to have gold. It is much more valuable for me to be able to sit there and go to the Lord in prayer and not have to say those famous words that I think so many people pray. Lord, I'm sorry for how long it's been. I know my prayer life hasn't been. I know we haven't talked to each other as much as we should, and I'm sorry for that. To be able to pray to Him and know that we just spoke a couple hours ago. To know that I'm coming back to a conversation that was just interrupted for a little while. As opposed to something that I'm picking up for the first time in months or days. It is much better when I'm sitting there practicing godliness, because I can look back and know that I have a certain momentum going. And I can look back and see that things are working well because God has blessed the things He has told me to do. How you live makes a huge difference in which shield you get to carry. There are a few exceptions, but for the most part, it's just like what the Bible says when it admonishes us that you reap what you sow. You won't experience spiritual growth if you do not work at it. As a matter of fact, the less you put into your spirituality, the worse your life is going to be. Let's take a second to look at the idea of our lives as a shield of gold. Shields of gold, they were a symbol. What were they a symbol of? They were a symbol of strength. It was a dare. That our military is so strong that we've got shields of gold for uselessness. What we're actually guarding the house with is useless, because we know that what we've got out in the street is strong. Because we know that what we've got surrounding the city is strong. Because we know that you never even made it this far. Wouldn't it be good to have a life that is so strong that you know that your heart is so well protected? That I've followed the teachings of God to the point to where I'm not going to allow certain things in. I'm not even going to pick them up. Have you been experiencing this a lot lately? My phone does this cool trick where if it thinks that there's a spam phone call, it'll sit there and say probably spam or probably a scam or scam likely. It'll say something like that on your phone. I love that. I almost want to sit there and say, thank you, phone, for protecting me from having to pick up this phone. Because what normally happens, you pick up that phone and there's nobody on the other line, right? Or somebody on there, hey, we've been trying to reach you about your extended warranty. And then they don't know what kind of car you have. They don't know what your name is, but they know your extended warranty is expired, right? Thank you for protecting me. And in many cases, the things that we preach about in churches, the things that pastors hit their pulpits about, those are things that we're supposed to watch out for. Very much like the pastor sitting there like your cell phone going, this is very likely a scam. When you hear people talking like this, it's a scam. It's a ruse. They're trying to dupe you into something. Hey, when you see the devil try to sneak in through the television, these are the things to watch out for, and you get away from it. They're doing everything they can to get you stronger so that you know it's never going to get here, because I stopped it here, and I stopped it here. I stopped it in my eyes, my ears, long before it got to my heart. I never let it in. I never let it get that far. They were a symbol of that, of just that confidence. That again, I've got the border set up. That nothing's going to be able to sneak in and get to this point. Why? Because there are real shields out there. It is good for us to have that confidence that I've got the border set up and I'm patrolling the borders. And I know that nothing's ever going to get into this heart. It is too filled with the Lord. It is too filled with the Bible. It is too filled with practice and discipline for it to ever get this far. Now, don't get arrogant. Always check the borders. Always maintain them. Make sure you're living in integrity. And you'll be able to have that knowledge of saying, hey, listen, God's blessed me so much in this teaching that I know that I'm protected. They're also a symbol of doing well. Right? They had money. Israel had money. There were people that come to see Solomon just to see this house, just to look at the shields and just to look at all the things that God is doing. You know, if you're living the Christian life and you're walking spiritually, there's going to be people that are going to want to come and talk to you just to get your opinion on things. It's a symbol that things are going well. And I always like this when people would ask me questions, or when I ask somebody questions, I say, hey, listen, you know, I see that you're doing this and it's working really, really well for you. You seem to be really good at it. And when I give that compliment, they always do the same thing. They go, no, I'm not. And that's the truth, isn't it? We're never as good as we want to be. And that's valuable. It's valuable to know that you're not done yet. But people are going to want to ask those questions. Why? Because things look well. You're putting in the effort. And you've got Bible memorized. And things seem to be going well. And you're put into certain situations. And you come out a certain way. And things are good. We had a phone call on Friday. Well, I had a phone call on Friday. It was from an insurance company asking about something that happened a year ago at one of our properties. And the conversation that they brought up was this, that this person was walking from their car to the building and they slipped and they fell because the light wasn't strong enough for them to see that there was ice. And I sat there and they're like, well, and they've got a lot of questions and I'm hoping you can answer them. I said, well, you understand that I haven't worked there in about 9-10 months now, right? That was so long ago. Who is it? Well, they weren't a resident. They were living there, but they weren't on the books. I go, okay. Who was the person that they were living with? And they told me the name of the person. I go, okay, all right, and I know where they are. You know what I was able to tell them? See, here's the thing. We just replaced all the LED lights. All the lights just upgraded to LED, right? COVID hit. We couldn't go into people's houses. So I looked over at my maintenance guy. My maintenance guy looked over at me, and we knew exactly what we were going to do. We were going to put those new LED lights in because there was nothing else for us to do, and we've been waiting on this, and we were going to save X amount of money, and it was going to turn into a bonus for us, and we were all excited, and that's what we did. I go, so that happened months after we put in brand new LED lights. Well, how do you know that? Well, because we got this calendar, we got this set up, and we got everything going well. Oh, why? Because when you know what you're supposed to do and you have got a plan for what you're supposed to do, things like this can't come back to bite you. And the person was talking for a little bit, and I said, all right, well, let me take a look at these pictures. And I said, all right, from there, take a look at that. You know what they got a picture of? They've got a picture of the light on the building, the brand new LED light shining on the man. And the resident was so foolish that they went out as the man was laying there on the ground and the ambulance was there. They took a picture of the man laying there in this very pitiful pose, but in the background was the LED light lighting up the whole area. And he said, he goes, well, I guess you're glad you remembered that. I go, yes, I'm glad I remembered that. They said, well, I guess you're pretty good at planning. It doesn't matter what I'm good at planning or not. I know what I'm supposed to do, so I do those things. And it only looks like I'm good at stuff. I'm just not dumb enough to argue with good common sense, right? And that's really what that is. Don't be foolish enough to argue with good common sense. There are too many people knocking around this planet who look at those who have things going right in their lives and they think, well, that happened by accident. They look at those people and say, well, that was just given to them. How can you just be given good health? I've known a lot of people with large sums of money that got very, very ill, just the same as anybody else on the street. You're not just given those things, right? And there have been moments where I've been very, very sick and the Lord worked in my life and great things have happened. And you know what? That wasn't just something somebody gave me. A doctor didn't come by and say, all right, Mr. Roland, you seem like a decent enough person. Let me help you better than I'm going to help anybody else. Right? And I didn't always have the access, right, that many people have, right? God blesses our lives. He puts things there. And what other people will sit there and say, well, your kids seem to be okay and this seems to happen. And that's, you know what? That God gives those things. He does. God blesses in that way. Right? But at the same time, don't sit there and argue against good common sense. Right? We sit there and have a conversation with somebody. Well, my car, you know, my car keeps running out of gas and I keep having to get it towed. Now, Pastor, your car never seems to need to be towed because it's out of gas. How lucky you are. Now, isn't that sound like something, maybe not the thing with the car, but isn't that, oh, Well, no. Because when the car gets to here, I put the gas in it. And if I don't have the money to put the gas in it, I don't go anywhere in the car. Now, I'm fine. Nobody give me money after the end of this, all right? It's an illustration.
He doesn't have money for gas. No, I
got it. But you get my point? I'm not going to go riding around on a Friday night if I don't have money in the gas tank for the put in the gas tank. Right? That's not luck. That's not random happen chance. I'm just not fool enough to argue with good common sense. And that's what a lot of that is. It's evidence that you are not going to argue with the laws of physics. I'm not going to argue with the laws of God. I'm not going to be so brazen as to not pray today. Like all of a sudden, after all these years and all these days, I've got it figured out better than I ever have before. No, I need the Lord. I need prayer. Right? When we see evidences, well, you know, it seems like you can quote scripture a lot better than you used to. Yeah, because I spent the last X amount of weeks in memorization of them. I didn't just wake up one day with scripture in my head. I had to put it there. It is a symptom that things are going well. And you know what? I like the idea of gold. I've never quite liked it as a decoration, but with gold, it's a pure metal. It's not an alloy. It's not a mixture. It's not a combination of things. It was a sign of purity, right? It was beautiful. And gold in and of itself has so many wonderful properties, and it was there as that sign of purity. You know what the difference between you and maybe some other people that you know that don't have the Lord is? Why God blesses you in a certain way? Because you put yourself in an area that can be blessed, and you stay out of the areas you can't be. Right? I know somebody in particular, their heart's all broken right now because a decision they want to make in their life can't be made because they're bad drivers. And that's literally it. They're bad drivers. So they don't have a driver's license, so they can't do the thing they want to go do. Well, you didn't understand. Well, of course I wouldn't understand. I don't speed. But if I do, I don't do a past cop. This one particular person told me a story about how they burned out their tires. And while they were burning out their tires at a Walmart parking lot, a cop just happened to be eating his lunch. And how unfair it was that the cop came and gave him a ticket, and because he didn't have a license, arrested him because he was on his lunch, so he shouldn't have come after me. That drove me nuts. Want to know why you have a driver's license right now? Is because you're not so foolish as to do dumb things. Can I use that? I'm going to say that. You don't do dumb things like that. Right? You got a common sense to you. Right? Well, you don't know what it's like to go bankrupt in gambling. That's right, because God tells me not to go gambling. Well, you know what? You're very lucky to have never overdosed. It's not luck. I don't put it in my body. And I've got all the time to pray for those that do. I do. I've got all the compassion for them that are stuck on it because addiction is a horrible thing. I don't downplay that. There's no scenario where you can just sit there and say, all right, I'm never touching it anymore, and they feel fine and they don't go through withdrawals. That doesn't exist. There's work that needs to be done there. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm never going to look at that and go, well, I'll try it a little bit because I think breaking is going to be so easy. No. It's a sign of purity. When you're having a golden shield day, it's a sign that you've not invited any trouble. You've not brought in any problems. You're not making any compromises. If you add anything to gold, you immediately see the difference in its appearance. That purity ought to be our goal. I always hated that expression, well, no one's perfect, almost like we're making an excuse. Yeah, no one's perfect, but you can get as close to it as you can, can't you? You can try harder and harder every day to get there. Listen, here's some facts for us. God wants you to be able to view your life from a successful perspective. Now, that sounds like fortune preaching, right? God wants you to look back at your life and say, I've got a strong Christian walk. He wants you to be able to do that. He wants it to be legitimate, though. He wants you to be happy in your prayer life to where you long to pray. He wants you to look at yourself as a biblical scholar, somebody who sits there and says, yes, I am a student of the Bible. Yes, I'm somebody who puts in the effort. Yes, I have understanding. He wants you to view yourself that way. God wants you to know what it's like to be spiritually strong. And God wants you to know how great victory feels. But we step in the way with our compromise. We step in the way with our false religion, our false philosophies, and we step in the way with our own self-worship. It's not that God's waiting to dump all these things down on us. He's drawn us the map. He's given us the provisions for the journey. We just don't get off the couch to go. We've got everything laid out. It's all possible. We all have the ability to have golden shield days, to be the strongest we possibly can spiritually. We've got the ability, but we lack. Well, let me put the illustration like this. It's literally the difference between Lord, protect me from sin, and Lord, I promise I'm going to submit my decisions to you and keep from sin. Where I put all, God ought to just dump these things out on me. Instead of, Lord, I'm willing to obey you and wait for them to happen. You get that? A farmer doesn't go out and pray that the crop just grows. He puts in the effort. So as a child of God, you shouldn't just be sitting there going, well, God, dump it out on me. It should be a matter of, Lord, I'm going to pray today. Lord, I'm going to read today. Lord, whatever I read, I'm going to put into practice. And the things that I read yesterday, I'm going to keep in practice. I'm going to keep putting that effort in. And I'm going to maintain what you've told me to maintain. Because I tell you what, if the Israelites, or sorry, if the tribe of Judah here, or the group of, the kingdom of Judah, come on, the kingdom of Judah had kept their integrity. If the kingdom of Judah had maintained their military strength, we would not be having this conversation right now. But instead, they were willing to trade them in for shields of brass. Now, a shield of brass is like a spiritual comb over. It's a cover-up that no one is buying. Most people know the difference between brass and gold. And you can fake spirituality, but you can't fake spiritual fruit. You know what? You can amen with the loudest of them. You can sing the best in the whole bunch. But at the end of the day, when I go to loosen my tie, and I say, well, I think they bought it, I'm still tucking a brass shield away. It's not real. Now, again, we're not talking from a lost person's perspective here. If you're lost, you need to trust that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins because you're a sinner. That's what you need. But for those of us that are sitting here and we're, what's the phrase, putting on the dog every day, we're acting like we've got a prayer life and we're acting like we've got a close walk to God and we're acting like we're doing everything right. But the moment we step outside of those doors, we're handing it over to the devil. We need to make changes. Because those shields of brass will do nothing for you. They don't fool anybody. And even if you were fooling people, it doesn't matter because you're definitely, positively, absolutely not fooling God. Bible says God looks on the inward parts, doesn't he? He doesn't sit there and see the shine or the glint, and he doesn't see that because there's 300 of us holding it together. He doesn't look at that and go, ah, that must be gold. No, he sees each and every one of us, and he sees what's on the inside. Our Christian walk ought to be real. Right? Glenda, she's out in the parking lot praying for you, sister, and for that doctor and for all those people in the retirement home. But when she gets done with a race, what does she get? She gets a medal. Right? Now, her and I, we ran a race one time together, and we both got a medal, but she ran it faster, but I completed it, so I got a medal too. But you send me over to the Olympics, and I come home, and it doesn't matter what I pretend I ran. No, it doesn't matter what I pretend of myself. I'm not coming home with anything shiny, am I? No, not compared to those guys. All right, what am I trying to say here? As much as we want to sit there and say, well, I'm a Christian, there better be something Christ-like about us because there's going to be no reality to that. It bothers me when people toss that word Christian around because to pull the word Christian apart literally means Christ-like. And there better be a whole lot about us that's like Christ for us to wear that moniker. Because I'll get those questions sometimes, and it's amazing how many people have lost faith because of people like you and me. Well, brother, what about this person? They were caught stealing all this money from work. Well, that's not very Christ-like, is it? So would you call them Christ-like in that behavior? No. We need to separate our view of who Christ is and the people that follow him, because we're all just dirty sinners in the end. We need to have better choices, because honestly, to carry around a brass shield, the only reason why you'd carry a brass shield is for the lack of a better option. Nobody ever sits there. Have you ever picked out jewelry? For those of you men, we've got our rings. You ever pick out jewelry? Maybe for the ladies, you're like, you know what I want? I want brass. You ever walk up to the jewelry counter, guys, and you're getting something for your wife? Christmas is coming. Say, I want the finest brass jewelry you got. You don't do that. You say, and even if you do come home with brass, it normally goes like this, doesn't it? Show me what you got. Okay, that's the gold's expensive. What else you got? Well, we've got these over here, and then you end up going over there, and then all of a sudden your wife goes, oh, it's wonderful, hon. Good try. But you settle for brass. You don't choose brass. You don't pick brass. Brass is just what you're left with. Right? For lack of a better option is what you have. And that's exactly where they were. They had given away everything in their laziness. They, to me, and I don't know why I have it in my head this way, but it just kind of seems like Shishak came in, put them down like dogs, came in and took everything, and just walked away with it. Now, what happened when David came out and he was in battle, and they came and they took all their wives and they took all their belongings, and they went, what did David do? Did David sit there and go, all right, well, we better go find new wives and we better go find new tents and let's go kill a bunch of sheep so we can build tents and things? That's not what he did. What did he do? You guys stay by what we got. We're going to go and get it. Isn't that what he did? We're going to go and get it. There are too many people satisfied with brass when they could just pick themselves up and go get what God told them to have. Could you imagine Rehoboam standing in front of David having to explain this? David, we let all that stuff go. Now, I don't think Rehoboam ever got a chance to talk to David. I don't think he got to explain this to David. I think they're in two separate places. But could you imagine having to stand in front of David, having made these things, stand in front of Solomon, having commissioned and placed these things into the buildings that he built for God? Oh yeah, well, we let it go. Well, did you go get it? No, we made brass ones. No one's satisfied with it. No one's satisfied with a lack of effort. No one's happy with it. All we really do with brass, all we really do with a fake Christian effort is put on a facade. Psalm chapter 12, verse 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You see, God has a particular motive. And what we do when we put on fakeness is really what they were doing. Do you think they knew that they were serving grove gods? That those gods had no value? Absolutely, they built them. Isn't that what we read in the first part of the passage? Who built the groves? The people from Judah. Who established these places, these high places? Who did that? The children of Judah. Well, here's an idea. Who is it, if you've got a problem with lying, who is it that practiced the lying in your life? You did. And you're bringing that into church and you're tacking Christ onto that, saying, well, I'm a very godly person. And again, you start throwing titles around. Well, I am a deacon. Well, like this one, that church couldn't do a thing without me. If that's the case, you need to walk very circumspectly. If you're that valuable, you need to be walking closer than all of us. Right? It's an attitude problem. And that's what we have. That's what we've really suffered from the last two Wednesdays. We've looked at that. People who weasel their way into church and they establish themselves as valuable, and yet they commit sins that turn people away from God. And that's sad, and it's dangerous, and it's disruptive to the service of God. And God says, because, well, I've designed my church this way. I've designed the Christian life to work this way. And if you're getting in the way of it, you're getting in my way. Now, here's the thing. Xander's getting a little tall. If he gets in my way, that's more of a dangerous thing for me, isn't it? We'll fall into each other. I might land on top of him. Someone's getting hurt if him and I collide. He's getting a little bit bigger. Gideon, I could run him down all day, never even feel it. I love my buddy. I would never do that. But you understand, you ever do that with a kid? You turn around and there they are and boom. Oh, sorry. And they're on the ground and you're fine. One of them's getting tall enough. If I were to run into Jack, it'd be over for me. I'd be on the floor. People'd be laughing. It'd be funny. Right? Now, of course, if somebody older than me were to run, it's different depending on your age, I understand. But the point is this, that if Gideon gets in my way, he's on the floor, I'm standing. Oh, are you okay? Are you fine? I pick him up, I'll give him a little hug and put him down, and he goes on his way. If I stand in God's way, I don't think he'd even feel it. If I stand in God's way in his church, he's going to mow me down. That's exactly what that verse in Psalm says. God will stand up and he will establish and he will push through. He will get the things done. Don't think your brass will do. Don't think that facade's going to do any good for you, because the one who's really in charge cares nothing for it. He's not fooled by it. Our walk must be real. We can sit there and say all we want that nothing is wrong. But when you look at it in the proper light, you'll see the tarnishes. You'll see the streaks in the brass. You'll see the dulling of it over time. We may even want to believe, well, look, it's got a good design on it. See how my life does some good. And look down over here. Here's a little bit of merit of things that I've accomplished. And look at overall how it looks. And we can be proud of those things. But they don't do anything. They're mild illusions. They're mild decorations. What would be better is if they were real. The sad thing is that we could have everything that God designed for us to have. You could have the success. You could have a powerful prayer life. You could be an amazing force for good on this planet. You could be the Christian that you've always wanted to be. But it takes time. It takes effort. And you've got to be willing to not only use that effort, but renew that effort every day. But we waste time. We play at Christianity for too long and fail to realize how weak our worldliness has made us. It goes on for so long that we don't realize until it's too late that we're not even strong enough to crucify our own lusts anymore. We lack the muscle to resist the devil. We've given in so many times, there's not even the desire there. There's not even the recognition there that we should do it. We begin to lose in life, and we begin to lose the things of life, and what was once golden and proud fades to brass. There isn't enough wax on earth to polish a sinful lifestyle into a golden Christianity. Brass will only ever be brass. We must labor and mine and get the gold of the truth, then pound that gold into our lives, and then pound our lives into the shields of protection and service that they ought to be. We pray so often, Lord, please help me to be better. But alongside of that must be the devotion to put in the work to be better. And don't do the self-pitying thing where you look over and you say, well, I'm not there yet. There must be something horribly wrong with me. All right, here's my opinion for all those that suffer with the ego thing. You know why you think something might be wrong with you? Because there is something wrong with you. It's called being a sinner. There it is. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins? And not only saved you from your sins, but he strengthens you and encourages you and builds you and makes you better. And it doesn't matter what cloth you think you're cut out of. You could always do better. You'd always be stronger. And whatever failure I am today, I can be a success in tomorrow. All I've got to do is rely on the Lord. All I've got to do is put my trust in him. That's all I need, right? In my Christian walk, all I need to do is listen and obey. It's not difficult. It's not hard. And folks, that's how you either get your golden shield, and it's how you keep your golden shield. That life of godliness, that life of soundness, that life of Christianity. We need to keep God our priority. We need to have a focused walk with God. A focused walk. Do you know what you're supposed to be doing today in order to get to where you're going? Right? I do that all the time with my Bible reading. I had a definite goal for what I want to do this year. This is how many times I want to be able to get through with it. So you know the first question I asked myself? How much can I read and still learn? Right? How much can I read and pull something out of this? Not just and get something, but get all of it out of there as I'm going through. So I had to establish that. And then I had to sit there and I had to look, okay, this is how many days we've got. This is how much is possible for me to do. What's beneficial for, you look at all that stuff. You know what I did? I created a little chart. And this is exactly what I needed. Now, for one particular time, I borrowed a couple charts. And I love those things. And I went through those. And I got my chronological Bible. And I sat there. And I go, well, it's different than this one. So how do I get through this one? So I divided it out. So you know what? Every day I know exactly what's expected of me of my Bible reading. Can I ask you a question? I didn't say that to brag. I said that to challenge you. Do you know how much you need to read today? Hey, you're going to pray later. Do you know what you're going to be praying for? Hey, God's good every day. What are you going to praise Him for today? Hey, there are people in your life that need to hear the gospel. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. We ought to be soul winners. We ought to be those that give the gospel. Who in your life needs to hear the gospel? And what's your plan to give that to them? I like Thanksgiving. I like spending time with family. Got to see some family. We were very astonished to see Danielle's uncle. Danielle's uncle writes software engineering, and he travels all the way around the world. Took the red-eye flight to come in just to be at Melody's birthday party. Just my jaw on the floor. It was amazing. I love seeing family. Going to see a lot of family on Thursday. The kids got a kick out of that instead of, well, we'll see you in a little while. It's, well, we'll see you in a couple days. They love that, right? You're going to see a lot of family this week, Lord willing. What's your plan? Now, my recommendation is that you don't sit there above the turkey and dunk, dunk, dunk. And is there a subtle way for you to do that? Do you have somebody that you know you've got to talk to? You've got to put something in their hand. Hey, listen, I don't want to ruin the festivities. I don't want you to have to think about heavy things right now, but I want you to take this through and I want to read it. Hey, you know what? What I'd like to do is I'd like to take you out to coffee or something. I'd like to have you on over for dinner sometime next week. It's very good to see you. I'd like to spend some more time with you. Would like to catch up a little bit. And you got to have plans in order to execute things, because if you don't have plans, you lose intention. That's my belief. If I don't have a plan for it, I lose the intention to do it, and I feel perfectly okay being somewhere, not accomplishing what I'm supposed to be accomplishing and walking away. But if I have a plan and I've got a course and I know what I'm supposed to do, it's much easier. Have a focused, right? Have a focused walk with God. Have a focused worship with the Lord. Now listen, some of us, we're not good singers. Some of us, we're not good writers. There's very little we can do, but you know what? The Lord will take everything He got. Aren't you glad the Lord said a joyful noise and not a beautiful voice? He talked more to the intent of the noise. And He even called it noise. And I firmly believe He was talking about me when He called it noise. Right? Bring it forward. Whatever you got, bring it out. Have a focused prayer. You know what, Lord? I love You. And I'm going to tell you about all the great things You did. And I know You know about them. I know that You knew exactly what You were giving me this week. And I know that You remember it. But I'm going to tell You anyway so I can say thank You. Because I love You and I appreciate what You've done. And not only should we be focused, but we should be building on the things of God. Many of you have spent the entire time at whatever property you've got adding on additions, and next year we're going to come on here, we're going to do that. And some of you, you're at the age where you're backing off of some of that, right? I think about Ben and Jean Hugan and all that effort they put into their backyard and how beautiful it was. Spent years going up there in the summer. They'd let us camp out in their backyard. Absolutely loved it. Last time I talked to the Hugans, I said, well, we don't mow back there quite as often as we used to. Why? Because with age, what do? As you first buy the property, you span out. And as you get older,
you come back in.
and it's beautiful. You got plans. I'm going to do this, and we're going to add lighting over here, and we're going to do that. And we've all got our plans, and we've all got our dreams, and we're building on things. And that's good to build on things, but don't lack in building foundational spiritual things in your life. What I can do now, I need to be better at next time. What I can read now, I need to be able to read more next year because I've put in the practice. And what I understand from my reading should grow next year because I've put in the effort. I'm building things spiritually. And what we're able to do as a family in our devotions, what we're able to do as a church, what we're able to do as a group of people should always be building on the Lord. We're doing things. And not just for the sake of doing things, but we're building things spiritually. We want to see spiritual growth. You know what? A lot of people, they fall into the trap that we could grow numerically in a church if we just put in a band and we put in one of those fancy screens and we swap out all the pews for the nice theater chairs. Right, we get those and we get lights up and down the aisle, right? We get the Technicolor lights up here and we preach a different gospel and we have more of a fun time than a Sunday school. And if we did all those things, we'd have massive amounts of growth. A lot of people buy into that. You know what they realize? It doesn't work. As a matter of fact, a lot of these mega churches, they kind of catch lightning in a bottle and they grow real fast. If we were to make those compromises today, I firmly believe there would be no numerical growth. I do. It really wouldn't work that way, right? What we need is spiritual growth. Now, I've known a lot of pastors that did it right, and they've got a large congregation, right? And you know what the difference is between them and a church like ours, where we've got more of a key base here? The difference is just the amount of people that came and stayed. That's it. If there was a magic button I could push that would make numbers pop up, I would. I'd push that all the time. I'd let you come up and push it. Come on up, and we all push the button, and we would all grow up. There's nothing like that. All you can do is invite people and pray, Lord does something and make them stay. But you know, the main difference between a lot of our types of Baptists really is why some grow and some fail, why people leave in mass, right? Why is typically what's happening behind this pulpit. Because God's people aren't fools. If I got up here and I started preaching garbage, not that I think all that much about what I preach, but if I get up here and I start preaching base lies and I don't prepare and I don't put in the effort, you know what I think a lot of you would do? You'd either vote me out or you'd leave. Am I right in that assumption? I think I'm right in that assumption. Right? Why? Because God's people aren't fooled. And I would expect for you to not be. Right? My view of you would be less if you didn't want to make those moves. Right? We want sound teaching. We want good preaching, right? Why? And we ought to, because I had to build with something, right? If you're building a house, you're not going to come knock on my door and borrow my Legos. You want bricks. You want timber. You want the good things. If I'm going to build spiritually, I need the scripture to do so. The next and last bit of advice we would want to use is to have a fight. Again, in my mind, I'm sure there was blood lost. I'm sure that there were people that died. A large number of the people out of Judah died defending the house of the king and defending the temple. I'm sure many died. But it would not have been as bad if they stayed close to God. They made compromises in not fighting. The first compromise was I'm going to distance myself from God, which means if I do get into a fight, I'm probably not fighting for God's cause, and I definitely don't have him on my side. Because again, God doesn't join our side. We're either on his side or we're not. So they compromised. And in their compromising, they physically grew weaker. You can't eat the feast that they ate at and drink and do the things that they did. They did some horrible things to the body, these festivals and these feasts. And there's a lot of people out there today. When we look at the word witchcraft in the Bible, it's closely annotated with the word druggings. Right? You can't put that garbage into your body and be able to fight. Look at the people who deal heavily with addiction. They are emaciated. They are hurt. Look at the people who give themselves into a promiscuous lifestyle. They get certain disease and they are weaker. So this is the nation that has given themselves wholly over to these very decadent practices, and we're going to war. I kind of laugh about that. There are so many people who look just like me who say, we're going to overthrow the government. And they barely have the ability to overthrow the blankets in the morning. If you're getting winded going up the stairs, hold off on the revolutionaries for a second. But that's the life they've given them to. They've given themselves to. They're either emaciated from the drugs and the concoctions that they would put into their body. They're either overweight from the abundance of the feast to the trees. They've given their bodies over to these gods. And they didn't have the physical ability to fight. If I'm not strong spiritually, the devil's going to run all over me. And as I practice compromise, I get better at compromise, right? I think of Danielle when she first started playing with the piano. And again, I just renew my apology. I still think they're the same. I don't care. But just the fluidity that she can do things now. Me, I look over at the buttons and I go, hey, they mean nothing to me. I say, hey, play a C sharp or something like that. And she'll know exactly what that is. And she'll know exactly where to find it. And there might be two or three places it's on there. I don't know. Just ding, there it is. Right? Spiritually, we need to be that fluid. But when we compromise, compromise becomes that fluid. Great practice leads to ease. If I practice sin, it's easier for me to just let them go. Well, why would I fight the Egyptians? We just worshiped their God yesterday. Right? It was their God's day over there at the Grove Temple. Why would we? I don't want to fight them. That's where I buy all my stuff from. That's where I buy all the drugs from. They're my dealers. Why would I don't want to do that. We compromise. So now all of a sudden when we're sitting there with brass and we're pretending that it's something special, there's no fight left in us. We've got a useless shield that promotes a useless lifestyle. What's more valuable to us is to put in the effort to have the things that are valuable, to have the spiritual things that are valuable. Many of you, you've worked hard through your lives to get the nice car, to get the nice house, to get the things that you enjoy today. Spiritually, it works the same. I put in the effort. And every day I wake up and I put in the effort. And when I feel like I don't want to, that's the best day for me to put in the effort. Because those are the days you grow, right? It's not doing the things you want to do when you want to do them. It's being able to do the things you ought to do when you ought to do them. All right? That we would have that devotion to God, that we would put that first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you teach us to fight.